So everything that Hashem created is broken down into three groups. Right? Traditionally, we always talk about four types of creations in existence. We're going to see the Rambam is going to put all those into the first category. The Rambam breaks things up into three categories. Number one, Mehem Bruim Shem Mechubarim Migolam Vitzurim. You have creations that are made up of Golem, which is material, and Tzura. And they have a form to the material. V'heim nehavim v'nifsadim tamid. Okay, Chomer and Tzura are very common terms in the writings of the Rishonim. Chomer means stuff. Tzura means an image or a shape to those things. So all of us, we have physical bodies. We're made up of stuff, of atoms, and of all type of mass. But our anatomy and the chachma that went into making man is what gives us a form. So there's material, right? Animals and people and chairs, they're all made up of stuff. But that stuff, what makes the difference between a person and an animal, the difference between a person and a chair, on the most basic level, is just that they have a different tzura. So the tzura, it's like an architectural plan. It could be that making a building and making a bridge, you use the exact same materials. But what's the difference? The difference are the architectural plans. So the worker, instead of putting a piece of metal here, he puts a metal there, piece of metal there, and he gets a building instead of a bridge. Right? A car and a cell phone can be made up of a lot of the same, you know, you order from the same places, theoretically. Obviously, everything's very highly specialized nowadays, but theoretically, it's all steel and metal and plastic, and just the question is what shape you put it into. So that's Chomer and Tzura. So the first category are things that are made up of Chomer and Tzura. And they're Nehavim v'nifsadim tamid. And they lend themselves to destruction, development. They fall apart. They eventually wear out because they're physical. Kemo gufos Adam. That's when we talk about the four classic groups that Rishonim speak about. We speak about Adam, man, Behema, animals, Tzmachim, plants, vegetative things, and matechos, minerals, metals, inanimate objects. So there's mankind, people, that's the first group. Second group are animals. Third group are plants, which are alive, but not in the same way that animals are alive. And then and then inanimate objects, which are not alive at all, like rocks and minerals. So the Rambam says all four of those are all physical. Right? Classically, they speak about the four types of physical creations. So those are all physical. Those are all within the first category. Second category. Umehem, bruim shem mechubarim migolem v'tzura. They're also made up of physical form. Aval enam mishtanim miguf leguf mitzura letzura k'mar rishonim. They don't lend themselves to breaking down and decomposing and forming. El etzurasim kvua begolmam liolam v'enam mishtanim. There's something unique about them that, right, like with physical things, I could take a plant and cut it and crush it and turn it into something else. Because it's the same stuff, so I can destroy its tzura and make it into something else. The second group is also physical, but it doesn't lend itself to the same thing. It can't be crushed down and formed into something else. Veinam mishtanim k'moil, they don't change forms. Right, a person dies, he's put in the ground, and he changes into the body decomposes, becomes part of the ground, there's processes there. But these things are kavua. This is referring to the stars and the celestial spheres that move. They're not the same as the physical creations. Okay, we're not getting into astronomy right now. I know that astronomers argue that stars have lives and stars eventually die and eventually the sun is going to die. Okay, I'm not getting into that right now, and I don't know enough about it to be able to comment. You know, to tell me that the sun will eventually burn out, it'll just be like in 20 billion years. Okay, so I'm not sure what to do with that exactly, with that piece of material exactly, that information. They didn't see the star. They didn't see the sun decompose. They, you know, that's what, from their understanding of, I mean, we haven't been to the sun, we haven't been to the stars. But we have ways of measuring things in order to be able to determine that they're made out of gas, what they're made out of. We haven't been there, but we use different methods, not we. The scientists use different methods in order to determine what they're made out of. So what exactly we're referring to here, I'm not sure, but the point is a good point. And the point is that the stars are definitely different than the physical beings that we find here on Earth. Third category, Umehem, Bruim Tsura below Golem Klal. And the third are creations that are pure Tsura with no Golem. Meaning they have the architectural plan, they have a form, but they're not made up of anything physical. So they're spiritual entities, if we can use the word spiritual. Spiritual in the sense that they're not made up. There's something there, but there's nothing there because there's no something. Okay, so if there's no stuff, what are they? If I would say, like, there's this really interesting building, it's just not built. So there's no building. No, but I have plans for it. Okay, but if you have plans, you don't have a building, you don't have a building. This is not just plans. There's actually a tsura here. You wouldn't say that, like, the structure of the building is up, there's just no mass in it, because then it's not up. There's no building. So these are things that have some type of form to them, but they're not made up of anything physical. So we use the word spiritual, just because we don't have a better word for them. V'hem ha-malachim. Sh'malachim enam gufu gviya, el tsuros nefrado zumizu. But they still are something, and therefore there's different types of angels. So you see, Rambam very clearly, you know, we like to always say that the Rambam is this big rationalist. So we have to be very careful before we start. Just like you wouldn't appreciate it if someone gave you a, you know, termed you and just threw you into a box and said, "Oh, you're a this." So the Rambam also probably was just as sophisticated as we are, if not probably a little bit more, and probably wouldn't appreciate just being said, "Oh, the Rambam is this, the Rambam is that." So the Rambam here says that there certainly are things in creation called angels. They're not physical. They can't be analyzed in a laboratory. There's no mass to them, but yet they clearly exist.
God, also there's no physical.
100%.
Hashem would be this category?
Where does Hashem fall in all this? Ah, so he's going to see that Hashem is going to be a totally different category. These are all the right. Look at the first line of Halacha Gimel. Kol ma shebara Kadosh Baruch Hu. These are part of his creations, right? He's the creator. Umahu zesh anaviim omrim shiro maluch ish ubal knafayim. Asks the Rambam, but I have a kasha. How can I maintain? I believe in malachim, that's for sure. But how can I maintain that malachim are spiritual and have no physical form? Haven't you read through the Navi? The Navi is always describing malachim as fire, or as having wings. Yeshayo, they describe, Yechezkel, describe, they see Malachim, and they have wings, six wings, and they describe what they look like. Hakol b'mara nevuah v'derech chida. Says the Rambam, whenever they see physical things as angels, they're not actually seeing those things. Those are visions. Those are nevuos. And they're there to teach a message. Lomar, she'eno guf, v'eno kaved kegufo sakvedim, k'mo shenemar ki Hashem Elokecha eish ochlehu. So when we use these descriptions, that's what he means, excuse me, when he says derech chida. When the Navi says it has wings, so it means he's having some type of vision, and the wings represent something. He's not saying that they have a body. Rather, it's like when we say Hashem is like a, it says that Hashem is like a consuming fire. Doesn't mean that like there's like a little fire with little eyes and a little hand and Hashem's like, look, it's me. Doesn't mean an actual thing. It's a metaphor. That's the word I was looking for. It's a metaphor. It's a mashal. Ukemo shenemar ose malachov ruchos. So also it's being used in the pasuk there in Tehillim. It's a metaphor. Wait a second, how can there be different types of angels? Not only does Rambam believe in angels, but there are different types of angels. Now, what distinguishes between the different types of angels? What distinguishes between me and Yair is that Yair has light-colored hair and I have dark hair. Yair grows a better beard than I do, right? There are physical things that distinguish between us. But if there's no physicality to angels, how do you distinguish between one kind of angel and another kind of angel? So, says the Rambam, "Lefi she'enam shavim b'mitzyusam." There's something different about their qualities, with their essence. Some are more spiritually elevated, some are less spiritually elevated. And it's that they come from another. It exists, it's matsui from the higher one, meaning there's some type of emanation going on from higher to lower. There are higher angels, and the higher angels, in some force, some way, they are the cause for the existence of the lower angels. And they all ultimately gain their existence from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The HaKadosh Baruch Hu somehow sends some spiritual force down that manifests itself as one kind of angel, and from there to a lower kind of angel, to a lower kind of angel. That malachim are not equal. Rather, there's different madrigos, one higher than the next. Gova me'al gova. Okay. These are some lesser known Rambams. A lot of people, you tell them that the Rambam believes in angels, they'll say, what are you talking about? Don't you know that the Abar Benel criticizes the Rambam because the Rambam in Sefer Bereishis, when it says that Avram was greeted by three angels, the Rambam says it was a nevuah. He wasn't actually greeted by three angels. He had a vision that he saw three angels. So the Abar Benel says, oh, how can the Rambam say that? He has kashas in the Rambam. So that's a great example. Some people see that and they say, oh, why did the Rambam say that it was all a nevuah? Because he doesn't believe in angels. So he had to say that it was a vision. It's not because he doesn't believe in angels. There are other reasons why the Rambam might say it was Bederech Nevuah. It's not that he doesn't believe in angels. You see here very clearly the Rambam speaks about angels. Zeshamarnu lamatmi ma'aloso. When we say, by the way, says the Rambam, that one of these, the tsura of one angel is above or lower than another, eno malas makom. We're not speaking on a spatial level. We don't mean that one is like 50 feet above sea level and one's 40 feet above sea level. We don't mean in terms of physical space. Kmo adam shoshev lamala mechavero. If I'd be sitting higher than you. Rather, it's more like when we use the term, this chacham is greater, is higher than this chacham. We don't mean that he's taller. We don't mean that he lives on a higher floor of an apartment building. We mean that he's more elevated spiritually, more knowledgeable. Just like when you talk about something being the cause for something else. So the cause, we say it's above it. Like, explain to me, in English we say more like, what's behind this? You know, what's behind this idea? So the Rambam says you might use the imagery of above. Like, what's we use it like sometimes with ideas, like a meta idea. You might have lots of different small ideas, and there's one like overarching umbrella idea. So you say like, okay, above all of these concepts, there's this overarching, even overarching, it like implies above. You don't mean physically above. You mean in a spiritual sense or an intellectual sense, that it comes before it. It's the basis for it. Even though when we say basis, we usually mean below, but basis can also mean above, you know, using a different expressions of speech, we would use the term above, and that's what it means here. Yeah.
If these angels are something, as Rambam said, is something physical, like
they exist. God, and they God exist. They're not them. Physical, but they exist. But
if we wouldn't use the word God, physical. How can one and God created them? How can one be better than another if they're both like parts of God?
Well, it could be that some of them, I would say, you also have a piece of God in you, in a certain sense.
But they are like they're created purely from God.
But the reason why you're going to say that you're lower than the angels, even though you also have a piece of God, is because you're going to say, yeah, I do, but it's not as unadulterated. It's not as pure. There's other elements. There's other things that darken it. So if we're using these types of terms, there's some angels that are more purely godly and others that are less. Just like you can have a person who's more physical and a person who's less physical, a person who's more into physicality and a person less into physicality. So too, you can have, just like, again, I don't know if I can say this in English words, but I think you know what I mean when I say that a person is more spiritually elevated than a horse. You might even understand what I mean if I would say that a dolphin is more elevated than a pig. Now, it's not because, you know, they, you know, save people in the ocean and pigs don't. It's because that you see that there's something, a pig is just so, so physical. And a dolphin, maybe because of its intelligence, maybe that's one of the we're going to see that Tsura is going to be identified with Seichel very soon. So that's why it's not wrong to speak about Tsura and Seichel in the same sentence. But just like you're more sophisticated, and therefore you're more godly, and you're more spiritually elevated, it could be that within the world of angels, there are certain ones that are closer to Hashem, again, in a spiritual sense, they're more of a direct reflection of godliness. And there's some that are less of a direct reflection of godliness. So some become more spiritual, some less. Shinoi Shemos HaMalachim, the different names. You never thought you'd be learning the Rambam to get a basic course in all the different types of Malachim. Says the Rambam, Shinoi Shmos HaMalachim. No, by the way, all of that is because we are, our minds are poisoned. We're told when we're younger that, okay, the Rambam is the rationalist. You know, we're everything is stuck into categories before we really get to approach the sources ourselves. I don't mean to deny that the Rambam has certain rational strains to him, things that we would associate more with rationalism. He definitely does. But we have to be very careful from stereotypes. Shinoi Shmos HaMalachim al Shem Malasim Hu. The different names of the angels are based on their different degrees of elevation. Ulefikach Nikroim Chayos HaKodesh. There's something out there called Chayos HaKodesh. Right? We say all these things in davening. Right? In before Kriya Shema, we talk about the Chayos HaKodesh, the Ofanim, and the Srafim. So the Chayos HaKodesh, Heim Lamala Min HaKol, and then there's Ofanim, and Ar'elim, and Chashmalim, and Srafim, and then what are just called Malachim, and Elohim, and B'nai Elohim. Now, I know sometimes Elohim is a name for God, but it's also sometimes a name for angels. And B'nai Elohim, and Kruvim, and Ishim, right? The Kruvim in the Beis HaMikdash were images of Kruvim, meaning they looked like angels, right? And they had wings. They were some type of physical reflection of a spiritual creation that's called the Kruv. Meaning Kruvim are not only these gold statues in the Kodesh Kedoshim. They are just like when Yeshayahu or Yechezkel saw angels and described them with wings and things like that because it was some mushal, some metaphor for some spiritual power. So too when they made Kruvim, they made them in certain image form. But they reflected something else called Kruvim. And there's something called Ishim. Okay, that's the lowest level. I don't have much to elaborate on the differences between all of those. Call Elu. Asara Shemos Shenikru Behem HaMalachim Al Shem Eser Malo Shalehem Heim. Each one has a different name because each one has a different Maila. Umaila She'en LaMaila Mimenu Ela Mailos HaKel Baruch Hu Hi Mailos HaTzuro Shenikros Chayos. The highest level are the Chayos. Lefikach Nemar B'Nevua Shem Tachas HaKiseh. Therefore, immediately below the Kiseh HaKavod is what we call the Chay, are where the Chayos exist. Umaila Asiris, the lowest level, that's when you have a Nevi'im speaking with Malachim. They're not speaking with the Chayos, they're speaking with the lowest grade of Malachim. Those are the Ishim. And the way that they communicate to man is in a Mara Nevuah. That's the way, because they don't have a physical form. It sounds like, according to Rambam, they can't even assume a physical form. Maybe when the Rambam said that the angels that appeared to Avram appeared in a Mara Nevuah, it's because the Rambam holds that they can't assume a physical form. So if they spoke to him, they spoke via a vision. But only they can speak to man via vision. Man can't have a communication with one of the higher level malachim. Lefikach nikru ishim. That's why they're called ishim, which comes from the word ish, like a person. Shema'alasim krova mimalas dasa adam. Because they're the closest to man. Okay. V'chol atzuros elu chayim u'makirim esaborei. Again, these are less famous parts of the Rambam because they're not as lamaisa for our avodas Hashem. All of these things, they live. Now, what does that mean to live? Because they don't have hearts, they don't have brains, they don't have, you know, a heartbeat or a circulatory system, but they live, and they recognize HaKadosh Baruch Hu, meaning just like we have some minuscule hasaga of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, they also have a hasaga greater than us, apparently. And they have a very great yediyah of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, called Tzura V'Tzura Lefim Ha'alasa. Now, eat not all on the same level. The higher ones have a greater recognition of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Lefi, lo kefi gadlo. They don't actually have an understanding of who Hashem is. They don't really have an understanding, but lefi their ma'alasam, they're able to. I think lo lefi gadlo is referring to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That they can't actually understand HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but they understand Lefi Ma'alasam. Afilu Maila Rishon Eni Yechol Lahasig Amitas Habori Kamashi. But even the highest level, the Chayos HaKodesh, they don't actually understand what Hashem is. Eladaita Ktsar Lahasik, because even them, their knowledge is lacking. But what we can tell you is that they have an appreciation and understanding that's more elevated and deeper than the ones below them. All the way down till we get to the Ishim. But never does man compare even to the lowest level angel. The Ishim always have a greater hasag of who HaKadosh Baruch Hu is because they're not physical. And the second you're a physical being, there's an automatic distance from HaKadosh Baruch Hu that anything that's not physical doesn't have. But they certainly don't understand HaKadosh Baruch Hu to the degree that he understands himself. Okay. Kol hanimtzayim chutz min habore mitzura harishona. Everything that exists, except for Hashem, starting from the highest level of Chayos HaKodesh, ad yitush katan, shiyeh betuibor haaretz, to the smallest mosquito in the middle of, you know, the Amazon rainforest, in the heart of the land, hakol mikoch amito nimtzo. They all exist because Hashem made them. And because Hashem exists. This is what we spoke about already in the beginning of Hilchos Yesodei HaTorah. That if Hashem would cease to exist, everything would cease to exist. Everything's existence is dependent. And that's true about the angels as well. Ulefishu yodea atzmo makir godlo tfarto v'amitoso. Since hu yodea kol v'ein davar nelam mimenu. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because he created all of them, so on some level, they all are part of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And therefore, when we say that Hashem knows himself, he obviously, by logic, knows every single creation. And he's trying to present the logical argument why Hashem has to know every single thing that exists. Right? He's basically gone through all of creation, told you about all the different groups of creation, and showing that they all come from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and therefore, when Hashem knows himself, as we're about to say, he knows every creation. HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yud. HaKadosh Baruch Hu makir amito v'yodeo osa kemo shehi. Hashem understands, knows himself, and he knows himself exactly for what he is. You see, by us, this is what he's about to tell us. We, it's a little abstract, but I and my mind are two different entities in a certain sense. And that's one of the reasons why it's so hard to know yourself, because you and your mind are not the same exact thing. You need to develop your mind. I already exist, and my mind might not be developed yet. But by Hashem, him and his mind are the same exact thing, because he doesn't have a physical body. When you have a physical body, so there's like your soul and your mind, there's the physical you. And you've got to somehow bridge those two things. But by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, his mind and himself, they're the same thing. So it's a little abstract, but look what he says. HaKadosh Baruch Hu makir amito v'yodeo so kimo shehi. He knows himself for what he is. V'inu yodea b'deya shi chutz mimenu. Kimo she'anu yodim. There's nothing, his knowledge is not distinct from him. She'in anu v'datenu echad. Because by us and our minds are not one. Ava ha'bore hu v'daito v'chayav echad mikol tzadu mikol pina. Him, his mind, his existence, they're all one. She'ol mali ha'yichai b'chayim b'yodeya b'deya ha'yusham elohos harbe hu b'chayim v'daitov. Because if they would be separate, so then there would be more than one God. Because as we said earlier, Hashem's unity is this abstract unity where he's the absolute simplicity. Okay, we're going to keep going just because I want to, we don't have so much time, but I want to push because this is a little bit abstract, I realize, but I think it's important just to at least get through it. Nimtzeis Omer, hu ayodea, hu ayadua, hu adeya atzmo. When we speak about Hashem, he is the knower, he is the known, and he's the knowledge. He's everything. Hakol echad. The davar ze ein koach bepel omro. The Rambam says, I can't really even express this. If you're sitting here thinking like this is gibberish a little bit, I don't know what he's talking about. The Rambam is admitting that. He says, I don't really know how to explain this. and you're below ozen lishmoa. You can't really hear it. Below belave adam lakira alburyo. You can't really understand it. Ulefikach omrim. And that's why, though, if I wanted to explain this a little bit, we say chay paro or chay nafshecha. We don't say chay Hashem. Ella chay Hashem. Shein ha-borei v'chayav shnayim. Kimo chaye agufo sachayim o kechaye malachim. If we say by the life of paro, it means by the life of paro as opposed to paro's death, because those are two possibilities. He could be alive or he could be dead. But by Hashem, there aren't two possibilities. His life is him. They're interchangeable. Lefikach eno makir abruim v'yodim machmas abruim kimo sh'anu yodim osam. Ella machmas atzmo yidoim. Hashem's knowledge of us is not the same way we know things. I know something because I used to not know it, and now I've studied it, and it's become part of my knowledge. Because I and it are two distinct things. But all of existence is really part of Hashem. So we say he knows it, he always knew it. It's part of who he is. Lefikach neshu yodea atzmo, because he knows himself, yodea kol, shakol nismach v'avayaso lo, everything needs him to exist. Dvarim elu shamarnu, everything that I've said, binyan zeh b'shnei prakim elu, everything I've said in these first two prakim are kimo tipa min hayam. It's like a tiny drop in the ocean. Mimash etzarech levar binyan zeh, from what really needs to be explained. Ubeir kol ha'ikrim sh'b'shnei prakim elu, everything we've talked about in these two prakim, hu anikra, this is what we call Maisa Merkava. This is the Rambam's introduction to Maisa Merkava. Whenever we speak of Maisa Merkava, that's like the Kabbalistic secrets. This is the Aleph Beis of that. Okay, we have one more halacha. Let's see if we can push. Let's see if we can make it. Tzivu chachamim arishonim shelo lidrosh bedvarim elu el li'ish echad bilvad. The chachamim commanded us not to really speak about these things, only to teach one-on-one. What are we doing? I don't think he means the things that he outlined. He means to go deeper. You only can learn these Kabbalistic secrets if you're learning one-on-one. Fushia chacham u'mevin midaito. And it also has to be that the person learning is a chacham, and he's able to understand on his own. He's able to understand on his own. You can't explain everything. You have to say the Rashi Prakim, and he picks up on it. V'yachar kach, mosum lo Rashi Prakim, u'modiyano shemetz min adavar, v'u'mevin midaito. You give a hint, and he figures it out based on that. V'yodea sofa adavar v'yomko, and then he can really understand it deeply. Meaning you can't even teach these things explicitly. You have to hint to them, and the person picks up on them. So dvarim elu dvarim amukim heim ad ma'od. These are very, very deep things. Ve'im kol das v'das ru'uya l'savlon. And not everyone can possibly understand them. V'aleim amar Shlomo b'chachmaso derech masho. This is what Shlomo Melech said in Mishlei. K'vosim l'vushecha. Kach amru chachamim b'feirish mashal zeh. This is how Chazal explained this mashal. Dvarim shem kivshono shel olam. Yiyu l'vushecha. Things that are kvushim, things that are hidden. The hidden thing should be like your clothing. What does that mean? Klomar, l'chol levadcha. Now you don't share your clothing with other people. They're on your own private things. So they should be l'vushecha. Kvasim l'vushecha. V'al tidros or some rabbim. Don't teach them publicly. It's a big question nowadays. I'm not obviously criticizing anyone, but it's a question. You have people that give shurim in Inyani Kabbalah, and they give them publicly. It's not so pashut you're allowed to do that. These are things that are supposed to be given ish l'ish, one person to one person. You're not even supposed to explain it out. You're supposed to give hints. And if he's a smart and knowledgeable enough person that he can infer from what you're saying, that's how you're supposed to teach it, with remuzin. V'aleim amar, yulecha levadecha v'ein lezarem itach. They should be for you and no one else. V'aleim amar, dvash v'cholov tachas l'shonech. Honey and milk under your lips, under your tongue. And kach pirshu chachamim arishonim, dvarim shem kidvash v'cholov, things that are sweet like honey and wine and milk, yu tachas l'shoncha. They should be under your tongue, meaning not on the tip of your tongue that you're always saying them, but under your tongue, hidden, things that you don't share. Okay, Mirtz Hashem, Perek Gimel, next week.